You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
So we've got this teacher in New Jersey. Now, she's a special ed teacher. And that's got to be a real, not only is it a satisfying job, but I imagine it's pretty hard to do. And turns out she works moonlights on the weekend at Woolley Seafood House Restaurant in Freehold. And so she's, you know, doing her thing on a normal weekend. And she got the check and from a couple that were there. And there was a note on the receipt along with a very special tip on the $70.96 bill. The note said, "Thank you for teaching our kids. Teachers should not have to work weekends." So they said thank you right there for making it public and kind of highlighting the fact a lot of teachers weighed in on that. Oh, yeah, I worked part-time jobs. Oh, yeah, I had three jobs. And so people were really weighing in on that. What really made it neat was they backed up their words, and they left her a $100 tip. So, boy, thank you to that couple right there who slipped on out into the wilds of Jersey after making the day of Catherine. That just made her day, I'm sure. And it got posted, of course, got out in the news, and well, it should. She's at the Lakewood Middle School, Lakewood, New Jersey.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
I was thinking about a scene from the 1992 Olympics. You may not remember this. I'll refresh your memory. Derek Redmond was running the 400 meters, and he's flying along, and then he pulled hamstring muscle. We didn't know what was wrong at the time, but you could tell it was one of the muscles in his legs. Something went way wrong, and he was in an incredible amount of pain, and yet he was hobbling along on the track. At the same time, the camera caught a man running down the stairs to the from the grandstand and frantically getting out on the track and running as hard as he could. It was his father. Derek's father ran beside him and held him up so he could cross the finish line. It was an incredible moment, and it still will remain an incredible moment. And you may be thinking, yeah, I've never had a dad that would run alongside me and do that. You have a father that is waiting to do that, who will do that, just as much as an in-the-flesh father would do that, would love you. There will never be a moment that our Lord will not stop loving you, even if you had a physical dad who you never knew, maybe, or who you thought did not love you, or who, for whatever reason, you know, you didn't know them, and you're saying, I wish I could have somebody like that and run alongside me and hold me up. You do. You do have somebody like that. His name is Jesus.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and you know, day is going to get better and better.
Kind of stating the obvious is Juwan DeVivo. He's with Casting Crowns, and he's always trying to be funny, and he's right. There are only two classifications in our country of clothes hangers. It's the where's a hanger when you need one, and then there's the why do we have all these extra clothes hangers? That's the way
this is all some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
I think it very well may be, but did you know where families in third world countries generally put their clothes? They put them on the roof of their house, and usually they can reach the roof of their house, and hence that's the reason I noticed that. That's the reason I think they wash their clothes and they put them out to dry and they put them on top of their house. So think about that, and you won't be talking about your clothes hangers.
The Sound of Life.
I don't know what your Father's Day was like. I hope it was absolutely great. A lot of people posting some great photographs and things and wonderful accolades. You know, I got taken out to dinner myself. I shouldn't have gotten the fish combo. I should have just gotten chicken. But anyway, that's okay. I'm all right. I survived. I appreciate you guys. I love you very much. I just wanted you to know Father's Day can be a really touchy issue because there's so many people running around, children running around of all ages that really don't remember their father. They didn't have a father presence, or they had a terrible father presence. And some, the difference between Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards is astronomical. It's very telling. And I want you to know and tell people this. If you had a great father, there is a father who wants to be a father to you if he's not a father already. And there are people who know that and have come through that. And once they discover that, they realize he is a very real father, a real guiding presence in my life. His name is Jesus. He is alive and well. And he wants to be your father if you don't have a father.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Talking about the father who adopted Noah, who was a year old, and he has a rare genetic disorder, which causes a lot of physical, cognitive, and medical challenges for this baby boy. But the dad, Ben Carpenter, he said, I think I'm the one to do that. Well, I guess he is. Now, the thing you should know is he's a single dad. And he has already adopted five children with special needs over the last 10 years. And he plans to adopt even more. And he adopted Noah. Wow. Medical challenges for the baby boy and for the father as well. But Carpenter knew he was the perfect person to give Noah a loving home, as he has much experience raising children with medical difficulties. Of course, his photograph recently, sitting on the couch with all the kids, just absolutely speaks volumes. His smile, the kid's smile, looking around, you know, typical family. God bless them. I lift them up before you, Lord. Ben and the children, for your blessing on them. You must rejoice when somebody takes on that project. And they can only do it, I'm sure, through your help. And I just pray that you will bring people around him that will encourage him, strengthen him, that he'll trust in you for his salvation and for his future and for the children's future, in Jesus' name.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
Well, you have an invitation, my friend. That's exactly right. You know, I guess, you know, the Bahamas, a lot of islands in the Caribbean, Pacific, and things like that, known for their vacations, and they invite you to come for a vacation. But who is inviting you to come there permanently? Oh, what an invitation it is. I'll give you a hint of where it is. Oh, I think you can probably tell. It is a tiny island off the coast of Ireland, and they are asking you, yes, you, to move there. I would imagine you could come and visit for a month or two and decide whether you would like to permanently move there. But specifically, Americans are being invited to move to what you might imagine as a quiet and beautiful island. It is off the coast of Ireland. What a surprise. It's called Erinmore. It is 3 miles off the coast, northwest coast of Ireland. And they're in trouble right now because their inhabitants are down to about 500, maybe less. So they're losing people, and that is the reason, of course, the invitation is for you. It is, of course, quite beautiful. You take the ferry over, which is an experience in itself. It's part of the vacation, and you wear a lot of sweaters and hats there. It's even, I think, all the year round. It's pretty amazing. The remaining natives are, of course, recruiting people to travel and live there permanently. 3 miles from the mainland, you come into Burtonport on a daily basis. And there's even an airport in the main town of Burtonport. The flight is a 45-minute flight to Dublin. I think once you get there, you probably would have a hard time making it out to the airport. I don't know. But the officials explained that really the overall goal is to get more people to work and live on the island. And I mean, you know, which would allow for much more sustainable community. It is, you look at photographs, I'll post the article on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page, and you look at the photographs, of course, and it is the quintessential Irish rugged coast, beautiful landscape. But, you know, and if you're the person who likes mucking about in sweaters, maybe it's for you, eh?
It's Cup of Joe Morning Show
with Joe Hunter.
I'm just getting warmed up.
The Sound of Life.
Dominican Republic, they're all in the news now, and not for a good way. You get in the news, usually it's not good news, and then when something happens, at least that my perception is that in just about any endeavor field that there is, when something happens that's not good, it gets the media focuses on every little thing going on there and focusing on that, and you know, people are living their lives there and going there and having a vacation and ministering, and the problems that were there are still there and stuff, you know. And the Crossover Cups Mission, which you just funded the phase two in a little community that I've been to called Lower Zion. Wonderful people. You can tell people are home because in their little houses there, they leave the door open. If they're there, the door is usually open. It really will be now that it's summertime. And they'll probably be outside now, sitting out somehow. They don't have much to sit in, but they probably sit on the floor or something, you know, or a little plastic chair and catch the breeze of the island, and maybe dream about what it's like in other places. Usually there's so many people that are there that just want to feed their family, basically. You know, you don't really need heat and air conditioning would be nice, but you don't need it. You can live. There's fruit trees all over the place and stuff, but somebody else is probably, you know, but just trying to feed your family really is a major undertaking. And so, and money becomes something that people would do just about anything for, all in all levels, in the police department, in the, you know, the government and things like that. Unfortunately, it's just permeated a lot of places there. And there's a lot of history to show you the reason why. And people come there from Haiti. It's the same landmass. They come over and try to do good or look for relatives, things like that. And so that's why we have the Crossover Cups Mission there. It's one of the reasons, because a man named Mike Williams saw the need there and said, I'm going to be Jesus with skin on there and help these people. And he's recruited Jack Eason to come there, and they combine ministries. And it's called the Crossover Cups Mission. I've been a part of that. And wherever there's a need, whether it's in the garbage dump or whether it's in the villages there, whether it's to recruit school, you know, get the kids the uniform and the dress and school supplies and stuff to get them in school, whatever it is. And there's a big need out on the streets at night in the town that they're a part of. The town, of course, is right on the coast because that's where the resorts are. And it's absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. And that's the reason people go there. And, of course, in the wintertime, it's just heavenly. It really is. Very pretty warm in the summer. But as Mike says, you know, I'm not eating rice and beans every day and taking cold showers if Jesus isn't doing something here, and he is. And one of the summer interns there, which is that time of the year, and, you know, maybe we'll have an opportunity for you to go coming up. So listen for that. But one of the summer staff interns by the name of Madeline Johnson went out, just like I did, just like everybody does. It goes there if you want to go out and pray. It's called the Street Ministry, and you pray with the women that you meet, or anybody, really. I mean, you know, you just say hey and meet them. A lot of times people, there's a little gift pack that we have for the women. It's really pretty cool. And here's what she wrote after being out a night on the Street Ministry. And I'm quoting Madeline. She said she broke the alabaster flask, and with it, her identity shattered to pieces. I can only imagine how hard she cried, enough tears to wash his feet, her long hair now caked with mud and pretty face now red with tears, as she gave up her desire to be the awe of man. She was in awe of the Lord. So she washed his feet, and he washed her heart. I can't count the times I've held a, quote, street girl open my eyes from prayer and look down to see the sidewalk dotted with tears. If I could catch her tears, they know life is not supposed to be this way, but they can't fathom grace to change, or that forgiveness is for them. They think mercy was forever lost on the first early morning they took the money from the hotel bedside table and walked home alone. If I could catch her tears, I'd put them in an alabaster flask. I'd tell her to take it to Jesus, to be in awe of him, to wash his feet, to break the flask of tears that he's already counted, and she will be forgiven, for she loved much. Then I'll show her my muddy hair and wet cheeks, my broken flask. We're not that different, her and I, and you, all big sinners shattered on the floor in need of a big Savior who, with tear-soaked feet and scarred hands, stoops down to say, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
The Sound of Life.
Doesn't take much to get me going on a song. And when I heard Chris Christopherson talk about this, he was a guy that was back in my era in the 70s and music and very big in Nashville. And he's a crossover artist. It's hard to realize unless you were around back in those days. But country, gospel songs, a lot of top 40 radio shared you know, shared gospel. And, I mean, we had the Flying Nun, Elvis, and Kris Kristofferson. That was pretty cool. And so they were doing this song on Ralph Emery's program, and he was like the host of country artist on television, probably radio and stuff too. And he had Kris Kristofferson on with a group, and they were going to sing this song. It was a huge song. It's called Why Me? Willie Nelson sitting beside him is going to sing it. You know, Larry Gatman, I think, was sitting in the back. He wasn't all that famous then, and some other people. And they were talking about being out performing a benefit concert, and then the next day he got taken to church. And Ralph Emery said, Kris, what was it like being in that church service?
I had a profound religious experience during the session, something that I never had happened to me before. And Why Me came out of it.
It was a very personal experience there.
Yes, it was. It was. Everybody was kneeling down, and Jimmy said something like, "If anybody's lost, please raise their hand." And I was kneeling there, and I don't go to church a lot. And the notion of raising my hand was out of the question. And I thought, I can't imagine who's doing this. And all of a sudden, I felt my hand going up. And I was hoping nobody else was looking, because everybody had their head over, bend over, praying. And then he said, if anybody is ready to except Jesus, something like this, come down to the front of the church. And I thought that would never happen. And I found myself getting up and walking down with all these people and going down there. And I don't really know what he said to me. He said something to me like, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ in your life or something? And I said, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing there. And he put me down. He said, kneel down here. And I can't even remember what he was saying, but whatever it was such a release for me that I found myself weeping in public. I felt this forgiveness that I didn't know I even needed.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
You know, you got your local grocery store and stuff, and you may be entered to win things there that you just kind of fill out, and you know, it's kind of the way it is. Or maybe you filled out a lot of stores. You go home, you fill out a survey online and stuff. You're entered, you know, and this couple got the call. They won a shopping spree at the local grocery store. What do you do? Of course, you're very excited, and you're like, oh, you have 50 seconds to take your shopping cart and take it around and get groceries. And you have 50 seconds to do this. She said, I immediately envisioned grabbing all sorts of things from my own cupboard, and then I started reflecting on it after a couple of seconds. And I thought, wait a minute, this is a great opportunity to give back. She is a social worker, and she works in the social services industry. So, she, you know, she's thinking about that. And she thought, you know what? Non-perishable foods, if I could grab all that I could, that's what I would do. And that's what the couple did. 50 seconds isn't a lot of time when you're burning rubber with the wheels of a shopping cart, I'll tell you that. And they were all out of breath. But they did fantastic. $598 worth of goods, like canned tomatoes and diapers and coffee, they threw into their cart. They had a plan. They went to town. But more than that, they also reached out to local companies. They collected $1,500 for the food bank and presented them with the check along with the groceries. Isn't that really cool? That is something when somebody, They get presented it, and right away they start having that selfish thought, because that's what we do right away. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. We can give back. We can use it to give back. And maybe we should reach out to a couple other companies, and maybe they would give back too. And that's exactly what they did. So congratulations.
Sound of Life is priceless to me.
The Sound of Life.
And I'm going to mention a name to you, which I had never heard of before this season. And if you don't follow baseball, you certainly have not heard of him, even though he's been around the Major League Baseball for, I think, 13 years. He's played for like 10 teams. See, one of the reasons that Dr. Tony Evans uses sports is because sports analogies translate into so many real life analogies. They do. Here's a guy, and I might as well just get his name out there because you don't know him probably unless you, his name is Cameron Maybin. Welcome to, the New York Yankees. He was brought in. Now here's a guy, 13 years, he's played for 10 teams. And maybe you're thinking, wow, that's kind of like my job record. You know, I've been all over the place in my field. I've been working and all that kind of stuff. So here you are brought in because of injuries to your players. You've got significant number of players out. They're starting to come back to the team. We're talking about all-star players right here. You know, big names. They're all over. All-stars. And you're brought in to fill their position. So you do the best that you can. And as he said, he was asked about, you know, you've got a lot of confidence now. He's doing phenomenal. Just to let you in on this, he's had a home run in the last four consecutive ball games. Buddy, that's all-star material. I don't care who you are. In any age of baseball, he's doing phenomenal. But he was, you know, the reporter said, well, you've obviously got a lot of confidence. What's your attitude like? Listen for the key word right here as Cameron explains, you know, when you get in the batter's box and your confidence. How do you explain that?
It's working. You know, it's a trust factor. Going up there knowing that I've got a ton of ability and trust in it. So, again, I just am thankful for these guys continue to believe in me, continue to encourage me to, you know, take that swing, get my A swing off. And I've been doing it the last few days. We're going to, you know, continue to come in tomorrow, get back in the cage, continue to, you know, work diligent and smart and try to keep adding on.
So he's trusting in what the coaches say, and he's doing it, and look how it's paid off. And everybody loves this guy. He's just a great, wonderful, humble guy who's like, yeah, I'm just out here doing the best I can for the team. You're doing a pretty good job, you know. So Cameron Maybin, I just love that guy. Also, it doesn't hurt the fact that he was born, he's from North Carolina.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
12-year-old has a health problem, and she's got special treatment every week. She gets an IV drip. Excuse me, it's every 8 weeks, excuse me, which I guess if you're 12, feels like every week. But she goes to the hospital in Connecticut, and she confessed. She said, I've always been intimidated, which it is intimidating, you know. Now, I worked in a hospital, and then I sold things to hospitals and stuff, so it just wasn't, you know, intimidating and all that, but I could understand that you get used to it all the time, and people coming in, usually in their hospital setting, it's a big deal. It's something that's unusual, and it can be intimidating, and she was. She's getting this IV treatment. So she invented something for other children so they would not be intimidated. She said, we've got to paint all the walls a different color. No, she didn't say that. She invented what she is calling the Medi Teddy. It is a stuffed teddy bear toy that hides the front of a child's IV bag. What a genius that 12-year-old is. And you're thinking, we've been using those for 100 years, and nobody thought of that until now, you know, till Ella came along. Her family created a GoFundMe campaign to raise money, and it's such an ingenious idea. That was to get them manufactured, of course, and they went way past their goal of $20,000. So the family's now trying to launch a nonprofit around the Medi Teddy so they can give away the toys for free. Of course, me, I'm thinking they got to find some way to hide that needle.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
You've probably, like me, seen a reporter standing in the street in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a city. It, for a long time, was under British rule, which was okay. You know, it was just one of those things because they had a lot of freedom there. And for some reason that I don't understand, back in the 90s, England made out a deal and said, well, we're going to give over Hong Kong to you, to China. So China's kind of pushing on their authority a little bit early. I think they were supposed to wait. I think it's been like 18 years, and they were supposed to wait 20 years before they did anything. And they've got this law, and you probably know, well, they're protesting the extradition law. That means a criminal can be taken from Hong Kong to China to be tried. And that's what they're protesting. And that's about all you know if you're watching the news, and that there's 2 million people out in the streets there. It's incredible. I mean, the city has 7 million people. So that's a lot of people that are out there. The leader, Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, apologized for the bill. She suspended the bill. She said, I'm not going to resign or anything. But that's pretty rare to issue an apology. But one of the things you may not know is that this thing is spurred on by the Christians that are there. They've been behind, or the, at least the leading forces behind the protest in Hong Kong. Several influential evangelical and Catholic leaders have participated in the demonstrations. And they're filling the air with a song. And I don't know if you've heard the song on the news or not, but here it is. That's what they are singing. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. And it's kept peace in the streets with 2 million people protesting. That's pretty incredible. There's a lot going on there. And really the underlying for the protest is that China will take over. And really you're just kind of thinking, is the heavy hand of communism going to take over that? That's what they want to do. Are the people going to win this one? You know, it's almost like Tiananmen Square all over again. And that got real ugly, and China shut that down very violently. And they said, and that's what's going to happen. Communism is going to rule like that. They're going to shut that down. Anyway, standing on my soapbox. Didn't want to do that. I just want to let you know that they were singing hallelujah to the Lord as they're trying to keep peace on both sides and calm right there in Hong Kong. Keep praying for those folks right there, that the Lord will bless them and will cause Hong Kong to not pass that law that would start the rule of China in that city there. So, Lord, intervene for these precious people that love you so much there, and that they would be an example to the world.
The sound of life.
If you were known you were going to have a child for about 18 weeks, and the child was diagnosed with a birth defect, spina bifida to be precise, at the Cleveland Clinic, they recently did surgery. Well, I say recently, it was the beginning of this year. They did surgery to correct this birth defect, spina bifida. But they did it before the birth. Yeah. That's why it was a first for them. I mean, you know, we're talking about personhood. Is an unborn baby a person and things like that? Well, the surgeons at Cleveland Clinic in Ohio performed the very first ever in utero fetal surgery on about a 23-week unborn baby. Now, I guess they didn't let the news out. It wasn't a big deal then because they wanted to see how the baby came out. Did everything fine. They do it almost like they would do a cesarean section to deliver the baby, except they just do the surgery. That's unbelievable. And the baby was delivered on June the 3rd, and mother and infant are doing well. So you have the baby by cesarean section stuff. So quite a medical team right there to be able to do that. Surgery right there, and kudos to them. I'll tell you, the Cleveland Clinic's Fetal Center, that's a thing, and the specialist who has performed more than 160 fetal surgeries since 2002, the first to perform such a procedure in northern Ohio. So it's pretty cool. I could go into all the details of how they do the surgery and everything like that, but I'm just saying, man, that is amazing. When you have a baby that's, you know, diagnosed with something like that, and you do surgery on the baby.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
Quite a viral video that happened back in January is golfer Gary Woodland. And I know there was another man, there's another golfer in there, and they were playing with a young woman named Amy Buckerstedt. They were playing like in a pro-am kind of thing, playing a round of golf there, and somebody videoed some of that, and it went nuts because it was so encouraging. Amy is down. She has Down syndrome, and so she's playing golf. She, by the way, plays par golf. It's phenomenal. And she has since gotten on the college team. That's pretty big right there. It's amazing that her parents let her. They noticed she had great hand-eye coordination. You know, like her mom's admitted right after she was diagnosed early on as an infant, that they just were crushed. And then they pressed on and just watched her and loved on her, and she had great hand-eye coordination, and so they let her get into sports, and golf is something that she excels at, really. She was playing with these golfers, pretty well known, and they noticed that when she had a shot, she would, you know, she had a shot out on the fairway and stuff, and she would keep saying to herself, "You've got this. You've got this." That's how she would encourage herself. Her father said one of the attributes that she has that excels her in athletics is that she can forget the last shot. So if she has a bad shot, in which every athlete has, they make a mistake, you know, they let something go by, something doesn't happen, you know, they miss the field goal, whatever it is. But they said, her father said she can just forget that and go right on. That's a phenomenal attribute for an athlete. But they couldn't help but think that Gary Woodland last week, a few days ago, playing in the U.S. Open and being on the leaderboard and being up at the next to the last hole, 17th hole, pretty tough chip shot he had. Couldn't help but think that he must have been saying to himself Amy's words of encouragement. You've got this. You've got this. And he made a phenomenal shot. By the way, Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
It's going to be like being at the beach, honey.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So I was talking about ESPN and the yearly ESPY Awards and the Jimmy V Award that's going to be presented this year. It's going to be to Rob Mendez, who you don't know Rob Mendez probably. Be very rare if you did. He's a high school football coach out in San Jose, California. The guy loves football. Back in May, he was invited to the ESPN headquarters over in Connecticut to meet with the ESPN president. His name is Jimmy Pitaro. And Jimmy looked at him and he said,
"The Jimmy V Award recognizes perseverance. Just want to take a moment and congratulate you. You indeed will receive that award this summer."
Yeah. So he couldn't put his crying eyes into his hands.
Never give up. Never give up is something I've always, you know, related to. It's just very humble. It is an honor. Thank you so much, Jimmy, from the bottom of my heart. This is my Super Bowl for sure.
Because he has no hands, he has no arms, and he has no legs. He was born without arms or legs, never able to play football, but it didn't stop him from pursuing his dreams of being a coach, and he's getting the Jimmy V Award on July 10th at the ESPY Awards and outside in the parking lot with his friends.
Who says I can?
Woo!
Yeah!
The Sound of Life.
Funny story now. At the time, the officer wasn't all that happy. The Kilgore Police Department there in Texas, they got an officer responding to a report of a loose dog. Spotted the dog running near a road. So he's like, "Well, I'll just coax him into the back seat of my patrol vehicle." But the car didn't, the dog didn't jump in the back seat. The dog jumped into the driver's seat. And then when he went to go get him, he got a little aggressive. Brrr, like that. Okay, the dog is a pit bull. So he's like, "Okay, I'll just back off a little bit." The post said the dog, quote, hijacked the car. And, of course, spent time enjoying the air conditioning and the officer's beef jerky. All is well because the animal control showed up and rescued both parties, the dog from the beef jerky and the officer from the dog in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it made for a funny story.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I've stopped doing the standing and the walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
The Sound of Life.
So we're talking about our pastor retiring and leaving in a couple of weeks there. But the Reverend Hattie Mae Allen, who is a great, great grandmother, still preaches every week. She's been doing it for 57 years. Two Sundays ago at an event recognizing her decades of passionate ministry in her community at her church in Temple, Texas, known simply as Jesus. It's pretty cool. She preaches a message. By the way, she's 105. She had to look at that woman. The message is, where are you and why are you here? It's always a great message. And according to TDT News, that's what she was preaching. She said, obedience to scripture and holy living, she warned, must come first in Christian living. And yes, she did mention the lake of fire. It's what we used to call fire and brimstone preaching, kind of. I don't know what her style is, obviously, but that's always a good message. That will always preach, Hattie Mae. God bless you. God bless your pastors. And on this Friday, think about making an effort, a special effort, to be at church. If you've never been, or you rarely go, or you're waiting for a special occasion, this Sunday would be a special occasion to meet the God that cares so much about you and learn more about his scripture, as she calls it, and what holy living really is and how it can put joy in your life. It's pretty cool there. Thank you for being a 105-year-old pastor.
The Sound of Life.
Trying to get how to start this. If you're in Wilmington, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, or Savannah, Georgia, I see a pattern here along the coast, along the southern coast. Check out a coffee shop if you like that type of thing. And it's called Biddy and Bo's. Bo's a big name down south. I guess Biddy, I don't know. Those are the children, Biddy and Bo. They named the coffee shop after the children. And Amy Wright's children, those are her children. And she is the owner of those three coffee shops right here in the United States. But she's not an ordinary businesswoman. Oh, no, 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 no. Her coffee shops were not built solely for profit-making purposes. They were founded to serve a bigger purpose, and they have really been blessed in that regard beyond her wildest dreams. It's known as the happiest place in Wilmington. Turned out to be pretty amazing. They've earned that reputation, not just because of their delicious mochas and lattes, but for their unique set of employees, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Just about all of them, except for a couple of the managers that are trained in how to, you know, or be around those people. Biddy and Bo's Coffee, like Down syndrome, autism, there's the people waiting on you, cerebral palsy, and they have children that have those, Biddy and Bo, and they named the shop after them. And she was stunned, Amy said, when I found out that 80%, over 80% of adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities don't have a job. Then she decided to do something to change that statistic. It hit me like a lightning bolt. She said, a coffee shop. I realized it would be the perfect environment for bringing people together. Seeing the staff taking orders, serving coffee, they'll realize how capable they are. And it was, as I said before, beyond her wildest dreams. I'm just saying this because she started with a 500 square foot space, not a big space, in Wilmington, North Carolina. Droves of customers started patronizing the store. They got national press attention. They had to move into a 5,000 square foot building 6 months later. The original shop began with 19 employees. Today they have 40 people that work there. Now, two of the managers hold degrees in special education. But she said the team is highly efficient. She said the wait time's no different than any other place around. But their joy is infectious. People love going in there. And I guess the lattes are pretty good too. So what happened was, make a long story short, they ended up opening another place in Charleston, South Carolina, a little further down the road. And last January, I guess, they opened the third location in Savannah, Georgia. Biddy and Bo's. It's the place to be for your coffee. And on top of that, Amy won the 2017 CNN Hero of the Year Award, complete with a $100,000 check to go for her cause. And getting publicity there. A lot of TV personalities are in her clientele as well. Yes, you can order the coffee online. And then she became the official coffee of the Rachel Ray Show last year. I was like, wow, man. She's probably like, I just can't handle all this. How can that be possible? And when you start something for an alternative idea other than making a profit, you know, to really bring people together, She aspires that more business will follow in their footsteps. She is the example of how to do that. And she has the friendliest people working for her ever. She says, our hope is that other businesses will see our success and realize the importance and benefit of hiring people with intellectual disabilities. When other businesses begin to hire people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, this will truly affect the unemployment epidemic. That's what she really wants right there. And I think she's helping it out.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.